In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form or shape, with darkness over the abyss, and a mighty wind sweeping over the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good. God then separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Evening came, and morning followed, the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a dome in the middle of the waters." God made the dome, and God called the dome sky. Evening came, and morning followed, the second day. Then God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into a single basin, so that the dry land may appear." God called the dry land earth, and the basin of water he called sea. God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth vegetation, every kind of plant that bears seed, and every kind of fruit tree that bears fruit with its seed in it." God saw that it was good. Evening came, and morning followed, the third day. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate day from night." God made the two great lights, the greater one to govern the day and the lesser one to govern the night and the stars. God saw that it was good. Evening came and morning followed, the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the water teem with an abundance of living creatures, and on the earth let birds fly beneath the dome of the sky." God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the water of the seas. Let the birds multiply over the earth." Evening came, and morning followed, the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth every kind of living creature, tame animals, crawling things, and every kind of wild animal." God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame animals, the wild animals, and all the creatures that crawl on the earth." God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." God looked at everything he had made and found it was very good. Evening came and morning followed, the sixth day. On the seventh day, God completed the work he had been doing. He rested on the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The word of the Lord. In this beautiful story of creation, there are some wonderful and marvelous things that God expresses to us. You know, there are many creation stories around the world. And people who study mythologies, they think about them, they categorize them, they place them in different types of categories. And some of those creation stories are called earth diver myths, where there is a creature who dives beneath the ocean and comes up with earth, comes up with ground, and creates the world that way. In other places, and this is very common in Mesopotamia, there is the myth where this god kills someone or something and takes that body, and from that body he cuts it up into little pieces and creates all the things in the earth. Either he kills a huge beast, like the dragon Tiamat in the Babylonian epic, or he kills a rival god and cuts the other god up and spreads these pieces around to create the universe. In other stories, the universe kind of comes out of this god somehow. Either he vomits out the universe, which is an interesting way of looking at it, or he creates the universe out of pieces of his own body, like in the Egyptian myth of Ptah. This is a god that creates the universe on his tongue. And in all of the, and then there's also the sexual intercourse myth, where you have the earth goddess, usually the earth goddess and the sky god, and they have sexual intercourse, and their offspring becomes the universe. But in every one of these myths, there is always something in existence before the universe. The universe is created from something. And a lot of times you hear Bible scholars talking about the similarities between the creation, the biblical creation myth or biblical creation story, and the and these other myths out there. But the Bible's story is extremely unique because God creates all of the universe from nothing. Nothing exists before God creates everything. And God does not take on a form. In this early creation epic, what we see when we see God, he is not an idol. He is not a god that can be perceived physically in any way. God is just word. And when God's word goes forth, everything comes into being. Now, a lot of times you hear Bible scholars talk about two creation stories, the creation story in Genesis chapter 1 and then the Garden of Eden story in chapter 2 and 3. And I usually look at it with, actually there are three creation stories in these first few chapters of Genesis. And the first verse of Genesis chapter 1 makes up its own creation story. And it's very simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it. That's a story all in and of itself. And especially when you read it in Hebrew and you realize that it doesn't say heavens and earth in Hebrew. It says the waters and the land. Interesting, the waters, we translate translate heaven, hashamayim, the waters, and the earth is Haaretz, which is to this day the name of the nation of Israel. That's what they call themselves. They call themselves Haaretz, the land. So you can actually translate this first verse of Genesis, God created the heavens and Israel, or the waters and the earth. But not in the sense of the planet earth, but in the sense of dirt. One of the things that this story is telling us is God created a place for man. That in the midst of all of this creation, the chaos, everything that's going on, it's all God is creating a place for man. He creates the waters and he creates the earth, a place for man. I think that's probably the best translation of that Hebrew word, ha'aretz, a place for man. But also, what the biblical author is telling us is that God, in this very first verse, God creates everything that is. Everything that is. Because in this ancient Hebrew mentality, actually this is pre-Hebrew, this story is so ancient we don't really know where it comes from. Much, much older than the Hebrew people. And in their concept of life, in their concept of the world, there are two primordial elements. There's water and there's earth. By Bronze Age Greece, They've expanded that to four elements. There's water, there's earth, there's sky, or air, there's air, and there's fire. Those are the four elements in Bronze Age Greece. But earlier there was just the two, waters and earth. So what the biblical author is telling us is, in the beginning, God makes everything that is. It's a very simple statement, but it's very profound. And then if you see that that first verse is just this all-encompassing statement about God and creation, then he starts to narrow it down. And how does God create the universe? And it opens with this statement that the earth, the land, the universe was formless. It had no form. It was void. It was empty, totally empty. It was in many ways what we would call non-existence. And God spoke, and God's word brought light into existence. And the light drove the darkness out. Now, a priest in Belgium by the name of Father Georges Lemaître read this passage and had the inspiration that there was in this earliest beginning what he referred to as a primordial atom. And this atom became ever expanding and became our universe. It was the theory that eventually became known as the Big Bang, but nobody believed it but him at the time. And he got it right from this one verse in Genesis. He says, there's nothing, there's no space, there's not even any time. And God speaks the word, and substance and radiation, light, all come into existence and begin driving away the darkness, which is exactly how we know it happens now, and at least in current cosmological theory. There's this beginning, this where the universe begins from no place and no time and begins to expand out and continues to expand and is going someplace, and we don't know where, but it's going someplace. The universe is actually going somewhere. Only God knows. And then the song continues. One of the things that I see about this Genesis chapter 1, this account of creation, is that sometimes people refer to it as a poem. Some people like to refer to it as a story. Some people refer to it as a myth, which is actually just the Greek word for story. Mythos means story. So that's not necessarily a bad thing. When we think in terms of myth, we say a myth, it means it's a lie. But that's not really what the word means. It just means a story. But I see this first chapter of Genesis as a song. The way it's structured, the way it keeps repeating itself, the way it has this refrain. And there was evening, and there was morning, day one. It actually starts early. It says, God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, day one. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, day two. I see it just as a song that is teaching us about the creation, and it's this wonderful, wonderful, poetic, and marvelous fashion. And like I say, it's an extremely ancient story, and that's probably how it managed to exist and continue to the point it was finally written down into our Bible sometime around 1000 to 1500 BC, is it existed for millennia as this song that just was repeated over and over again. And I don't know where the origin of the song came from, but I can see from the earliest man in his understanding of God, we'll talk about that next week when we talk about the Adam and Eve story, that man begins in this wonderful communion with God and had this tremendous understanding. And I know most scholars would laugh at me for saying something like this, but I can see Adam and Eve writing this song and creating it and passing it down into their children and to their children's children. So it just continues from the earliest understanding that man had of God, that this story continues on and on. And then you can see when you look at these other creation stories that kind of rise up, you could, a lot of times scholars talk about how they intersect and how they how there's similarities between all these creation myths, and they say, oh, the biblical myth is just an abbreviated form of earlier creation myths, particularly the Enuma Elish is one they like to blame for this. And of course, they could only get away with this by saying this because nobody's read that story. If you ever read the Enuma Elish creation story, it makes no sense. It has nothing to do with the scriptures. But you can see how all these other creation myths are in some way deviants. They change the story to make it more comprehensible, because the universe always comes out of some experience that they've seen. Like the land coming up out of the earth. We don't see that very often, but just last year, an island rose up out of the ocean off the coast of Pakistan. And if you live in there in Polynesia, where you have, you know, lots of volcanic activity, they've seen this oftentimes. Land is coming up out of the sea. So this is something that they were familiar with. The slaying of an animal and taking parts of that animal to make something. Early man did this. They made tents. They made tools. They made, you know, their villages were made out of these pieces of animals. So they're using these common experiences to try to, in a very real sense, dumb down the incredible truth that God is presenting in this first chapter. So much so that this Jesuit priest in Belgium reads this and says, ah, I know how it happened. And then we gain this knowledge, we gain this understanding, because it's there from the earliest time of man and gets passed on from generation to generation. But there are several things about this creation story, this creation song, that are profound in our lives, in our daily lives. And those are the things I want to chat about just briefly. And that is, at the very beginning, when God is creating the universe, the two things that exist, I can't even call them elements, but the two existences that are present there are light and word. Are light and word. Everything that exists comes from light and word. So, in your handouts, in your worship guides, you have the first chapter of John. I put that in there because I wanted to refer to it, and I wanted you to have that to look at it, to see that John is now adding a whole new interpretation to this Genesis creation epic, and he's seeing it through the eyes of Jesus. We talked about seeing all the scriptures through the lens of the life of Jesus. And this is what he says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life. And this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Skip down a little bit. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was in the world. The world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Light and Word is Jesus. The very beginning of time, before there was time, God and Jesus. God is Jesus. And he's speaking the universe into being through Jesus. That's one of the reasons that you see in Scripture the phrase that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You see, nothing exists except that which came into being through Jesus. Jesus is the foundation of all that we are and all that we have. He's the foundation of all that exists. At the quantum level, you see that even the tiniest fractions, the tiniest particles of our existence exist as energy, but yet we perceive it as matter. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the energy that gives existence to everything that is. And so when you read St. Paul say, in Jesus, in Christ, we live and we move and we have our being, it takes on a whole new understanding. Everything that surrounds us is energized into existence by the light and the Word, which is Christ. I was taking a walk a while back, and I had some time, so I said, I've got a little over an hour. I think I'll take a walk, and I'll do all 20 of the mysteries of the rosary. So I took my rosary with me, and I just walked through the woods, and I'm going through each of these mysteries of the rosary, which take us from the life of Christ from the beginning, of course, all the way through his ministry and his passion and his resurrection and ascension and, you know, to Mary's assumption and made Queen of Heaven. And so the whole story of Christ. And I began just to be overwhelmed by this sense that everything that surrounds me is an expression of Christ. In a very real sense, what John is telling us is that the incarnation, we think of the incarnation beginning with the message of the angel. In fact, we say that in the Angelus, right? That the incarnation begins at the message of the angel. But what John is telling us is that in a very real sense, the incarnation begins at creation. That Christ is the very means through which the world comes into existence, and he exists in all that is in the world. Christ is all and is in all and surrounds us so that in him we live and move and have our being. And the other thing I want to point out in this passage of creation is in the refrain of the song. The refrain begins, and God said it was good. All of creation is good because all of creation exists and has its being in Christ. It is all good. And that is a unique feature of Christianity. Most religions do not see the world as good. They see the world as being separated from God and evil. That the stuff of earth is the bad stuff and the spirit world is the good stuff. And so what we want to do is quit being earthly and start being spiritual. And that's not the teaching of our church. The teaching of our church is the way that God imparts his spirit is through the stuff of the earth. We're baptized in water, receive the body of and blood of the Lord in the bread and wine of the Eucharist. We are imparted and ordained into ministry through the laying on of physical hands. God is always using the stuff of earth to make the Spirit known in the earth, because the stuff of earth is good. It is good because it all emanates from the Word and the light that is Christ. It all goes back to God, and in this interim period, In Christ we live and move and have our being. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. From beginning to end. So I want to close. Make sure I didn't talk too long. I want to close with this marvelous song, poem, of St. Patrick. Because I think Patrick got it. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ on my right. Christ on my left. We exist in Christ. Even in this material world, all things emanate from the light and the Word that is Christ. He is the light that enlightens everyone, everything, all things in this world. He is the eternal Word. He is the true light. Above us, within us, without us. Because in Him we live and move and have our being.